Good afternoon. It's a couple minutes after four. You're listening to the Tim DeMoss Show on WFIL. Thanks for listening in. Forecast, kind of cloudy. Had some sunshine for a while, but AM 560 WFIL is the Tim DeMoss Show, and we're very pleased to bring on board Dr. Michael Youssef from Leading the Way. Hello, sir. How are you today?
Wonderful, Tim. Good to be with you.
Absolutely. A big blessing to have you on board. There's lots of things to chat about. Leading the Way has been the ministry of the month for April. Also been talking about Awake America 2020. And I just thought, though, what, you know, I've been at the radio station now for a couple of years. I was here years ago. Now that I'm back, been working on trying to connect with each of the ministries on the station. And you're one we have not had a chance to connect with. I know you're super busy, to offer listeners just a chance to also hear more beyond the ministry a little bit. So if you have a moment, I'd love to hear a little bit of your testimony, because it's quite a thing.
Well, the bottom line is I'm a 71-year-old sinner who was saved by the grace of God. And some years ago, God was looking down from heaven trying to find the most unlikely person to entrust him with a proclamation of the gospel to 195 countries in 26 of the most spoken languages. And then he looked down and said, whoop, I found him. That's kind of my testimony, the summary of my life.
Well, early in life, though, wasn't there a time that I understand your mother's pregnancy was not had some issues, and there was a chance, right? There was a whole thing about not even being born, right?
Well, she had 11 kids.
Wow.
And some kind of really kind of born, still born, but there were 8 of us who survived. And I was right at the bottom, and her health by that time was deteriorating to such a degree that 3 doctors actually told her that she must terminate for her own survival.
Wow.
And the blessing of God was our pastor, my family pastor, had a vision, and that really disturbed him all night. So he, early hours in the morning when the procedure was supposed to take place, he went and told him he feels that strongly that the Lord has a purpose for this pregnancy. And my mother, being a godly woman, she said, well, I'm going to trust God. And I guess if I die, I die. And that was a horrible burden that the pastor carried on himself. But thankfully, both my mother and the pastor lived long enough to see me come to Christ. And my mother died when I was 16. So although she was in a poor health, but nonetheless, I'm honored to have known her for 16 years.
Amen. You know, as you're speaking there, I forgot. My mom passed away 5 years ago, but her mom actually died in childbirth.
Wow.
And my mom was a very godly woman, one of the most humble people I've ever known, fun and all that, but dwelt with people. She just really supported people in a quiet way. And after she passed, one of my siblings said, you know, it's so neat that mom, who felt kind of guilty sometimes in her lifetime about her mother passing in her childbirth, that they're going to see each other now for the first time.
Wonderful reunion. Yeah.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
Well, and you at age 16, you mentioned that that's about the time that you really got on board with the Lord. Is that right?
Yes. I grew up in a very godly, evangelical, Bible-believing home where we had family altar every night, but I became a rebellious teenager for the very sole purpose. It's just, I didn't like this idea of that God called a call in my life to be in ministry where my older siblings, all economists and bankers and business people, and I said, well, you know, why would I be kind of the black sheep in the family and end up going to the ministry?
Right.
And back then, of course, the economics of being in the ministry did not pull my chimes. So I thought, well, if I run away from the Lord, you know, I've become a damaged good that he can't use me. Foolishly, of course, very foolishly.
Yeah.
I thought that I could do that. And but God supernaturally brought me to himself in 1964. And so marvelous, grateful to the Lord for that.
Wow. Dr. Michael Youssef's our guest from Leading the Way, which you can catch weekdays at 5:30 p.m. on WFIL. Actually been on the radio station for close to 20 years. So we're going to get into that in a second. But a little bit more, if I could, about just growing up. born in Egypt, right? And you moved around. You were in Lebanon, right. Australia. What was upbringing like for you and the spiritual climate, too, in the places that you lived compared to when you eventually came to America?
Well, of course, you know, the difficulty in Egypt at the time, in the 60s, is that there was a six-day war with Israel, and things were really bleak. And Mr. Nasser, who had a kind of a socialistic dictatorship, made things really, really bad and started nationalizing. Socialism never works, I'm telling you. There is not a single place where socialism worked. And things got so bad with the nationalization of businesses and banks and everything else. And so I was 19 years old, and I basically made the rounds of immigration offices of the United States was closed after the Six-Day War. Canada, Australia, and God opened the door miraculously to go to Australia. And so I literally escaped with the clothes on my back to go to Beirut, supposedly for a short visit. Mm. And I never returned. In fact, I never returned until years later. And here's the irony, the amazing irony, that delicious irony, that when I returned, years later, as I returned by an invitation from President Sadat, who was a successor of Nasser.
Wow.
And was honored and received. And I just, amazing. But when I left, I thought I'll never be able to go back because things just look so bleak that I thought, oh, I'll never see my siblings again. Yeah. But thank God. And now I have a ministry there that is amazing. We have a television station 24/7. Called Malakot Sat, that's in 200 million homes in the Arabic-speaking world, a very strong presence in Egypt. I go there every year ministering to many people. And have in the 80s, I was able to train hundreds and hundreds of Christian leaders from the Middle East through a training program I was involved with. And so, you know, God just does amazing things when you say, okay, I'm not my own. You got me, you own me. Use me whichever way you want to. Don't ask for my opinion because it won't mean anything.
Well, and about how old were you? How old were you when you wound up leaving?
19.
Okay, wow. See, and again, in a spot where you're a young man, but you're still, there's so much life in front of you, theoretically speaking, right? And just...
Yeah, got, that's, yeah. 50 years ago now. I go 50 years ago.
Wow. Dr. Michael Youssef, our guest this afternoon on the Tim DeMoss Show from the program Leading the Way. You can find out more about their ministry, by the way, at ltw.org. Also, awakeamerica2020.com, a prayer movement that Dr. Youssef's heading up. We're going to chat with him about that in a couple of moments. First, a quick break, and then back with more on the Tim DeMoss Show. It's 421, the Tim DeMoss Show, and WFIL. Don't forget, the ministry of the month that we have going in April, Leading the Way with Dr. Michael Youssef, who we're chatting with today. Did you have your heart set on coming to America when you were younger, and if so,
no,
why?
Yes. As a teenage boy living in this socialist dictatorship and absolutely no freedom whatsoever, where normally even the churches, which, you know, there are 10 to 15 million Christians in Egypt, so a lot of churches. But even in the churches, you had plainclothes people, like Gestapo type, and listening to the sermons and, you know, making sure that nobody says anything against the government. Mm. And things were really, really bleak. And I would go to libraries and not read books about American freedom. And that's why I am huge supporter of and warning and exhorting people, don't lose your freedom, because I know what it's like to lose freedom. And this is a precious thing in America, and it needs to be protected in every way.
Yeah.
That was my dream. As 14, 15, I'll go to libraries, get books, and I'll start reading about the Constitution and the founding fathers, and I just long to breathe the air of freedom. And that was a dream, and I did not know for a while if that was going to be fulfilled. But God graciously have placed that dream in my heart, and he worked out the details to bring me here in 1977.
Share then, maybe kind of keep that timeline going from 1977 when you came to the States till about 10 years later when the Church of the Apostles that you had started got started. What kind of happened in that 10-year window? And then we could talk about the church and then the program too, if you wouldn't mind.
I headed up a ministry. I was invited by the founder of the Hagia Institute for leadership training, which really headquartered in Singapore, but they had an American office here in Atlanta, and they invited me to come and become the managing director. So that's what I did for 10 years, and that's why I came to Atlanta, at the U.S. headquarters. And there I served traveling the globe on behalf of the gospel, speaking in many churches and campuses, and particularly training leaders of every kind, lay and clergy, from church leaders, from judges, lawyers, professors, university presidents, to bishops and pastors. And that was the leadership training that I have conducted from 1978 to 1987, constantly traveling the globe. In fact, I circled the globe about 64 times now. And all on behalf of the gospel, which was, I'm not a tourist, so I would go to a place and I'd minister and lead. And but then as my four children were growing, they were young at the time, but they were growing, and I realized the need. And the Lord began to really put on my heart a need for a consistent preaching ministry. So that's what I called you for. And so I started the church with 28 adults, friends. I just was teaching a Sunday school class in another church. And that church went liberal, completely liberal. And so they began to say, look, We need you to do this. I planted the church 33 years ago, coming up next week, and as they say, the rest is history.
Absolutely. It's grown large by God's grace. Equip the saints, seek the lost, right? And all the, Well, I mean, the story of leading the way, I know you're the first to point to the Lord as to why that's grown and how everything has grown the way it has, and about God and his faithfulness, and your personal hunger, really, to feed folks the word of God unashamedly and straightforward. And some folks are more bold and direct, and others perhaps take their cues a bit from the person they're sharing with. And any thoughts on what it means to be bold without being, in the wrong way bold, compared to sometimes the soft method?
In Ephesians, the Apostle Paul gives us a very delicate formula, saying that you got to speak the truth in love. And, you don't have to tell people I love you. I think people know they love them or not. They will sense it. They literally will sense it in you. I live in neighborhoods with a lot of non-believers, and it's a wonderful opportunity for me to really develop these friendships with non-believers and speak the truth to them, but in a loving way, and that's really what it's all about. As long as you speak the truth, that's, some people are kind of foamed at the mouth and don't say anything.
Yeah.
But we are called to be witnesses. I'm not saying everybody's an evangelist. That would be a mistake. But everybody's a witness. All you could say, look, I was lost, but now I'm found. God saved me. And, that's a simple witness.
Yeah. One of the things that I love reading the book of Proverbs, and just earlier this week read in Proverbs 27, back-to-back verses, better is open rebuke than hidden love, and wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. And I know it's easy to, right? I mean, it's easy to want to not offend someone or hurt their feelings or make them feel judged, and that can lead you to saying nothing or saying minimal. And but you got to be careful about that.
But in some situation, like in marriage, for example, if you have an unbelieving spouse, I don't think it is God's will for you to nag the spouse who's an unbeliever.
Yeah.
But as Peter said in 1 Peter 3, you just basically show them the love of Christ in the way you live. And sooner or later, like Paul said to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 7, that they are sanctified in the believing, meaning that God has a plan for them. Somehow he's going to work it out. So you don't nag them, but you constantly show the love of Christ. So each situation is different. Now, those of us, of course, in the pulpit who cowardly because they don't want to be criticized and don't want to be accused of of whatever, we kind of water it down and smooth it over. And I've seen this happen over and over and over again. And in the end, the gospel is literally disappearing under a pile of cliches and positive thinking and all those nice things. But those of us whom God called to be in the pulpits, we have absolutely no choice but to be bold. And again, to do it in love, but to be bold nonetheless. That not to call. I wrote a book. It's recently just released. The title of it is Saving Christianity? Because every one of those people who have departed from the faith, watered down the gospel, try to soften the gospel, they say, well, I'm doing this reinventing Christianity because I want to save Christianity. Well, in the end, it's not really Christianity at all you're saving. You're saving your own hide.
Yes.
But, so I wrote the book. In fact, it became a bestseller, and it just only came out literally 6 weeks ago.
Yeah.
In it, I am exhorting young pastors, please, I'm pleading with them, do not compromise the word of God out of fear, because God is going to give you the courage. God is going to protect you. You don't have to worry about it. And for the layman who's sitting in a pew with pastors not preaching the word of God, you either exalt them or leave.
Yeah, it's a great word. It needs to be spoken, and there is a way to do it. I think that the idea of loving people gets watered down. It gets leave it to the devil to try to confuse things enough. Of course, you're not supposed to hurt somebody who doesn't believe the Bible, or if they're acting in a way that's not in accordance with Scripture. But to just call it fine, I mean, the Bible talks about that too. Don't call something that is sin not sin. So,
yeah. Well, you know, if we don't tell a person to repent because Jesus loves you, I mean, why would you call anybody to repentance in these days unless you love them and because Jesus loves them? Otherwise, you know, there's just no purpose for it, right?
Yeah.
I mean, the only reason why we do what we do and take the gospel to individuals and to the nations is because we know that God loves them and he wants them to repent, therefore, and spend eternity with him in heaven. Yeah. And if somebody says, no, I heard you, I understand, I want nothing to do with it, I said, God bless you, I move on. We're not belligerent, we're not commanded like other religions. You force religion down their throat, and if they don't, you kill them. Now, that's for some other religions, not our faith.
Dr. Michael Youssef, our guest on the Tim DeMoss Show on WFIL. Thanks for hanging out with us this afternoon. We appreciate that very much. Dr. Michael Youssef, kind enough to spend a little time with us. The program, of course, Leading the Way, weekdays at 5:30 p.m. on WFIL, ltw.org. For more info, definitely want to talk to you for a moment about awakeamerica2020.com is the site folks can go to. And the interesting backstory for this is this was something in the works before everything with coronavirus kicked in. Share about that.
Oh, yeah, we started last year. We were talking about it. And as I wrote this particular book, and some of my colleagues have read the manuscript, you know, Saving Christianity, and they said, well, the only answer is for an awakening that God mercifully. And we looked at the history of awakening. I had the privilege of sitting at the feet of the man who was the authority on revivals, Dr. J. Edwin Orr, back in 77 and 78. I sat at his feet. I learned from him that every awakening that happened, whether it be in Wales or in New England there or in New York, they all started with prayer. And God's people committed not just to, just say your prayers. I mean, you remove the idols from your life, you consecrate yourself, and you begin to pray and petition heaven. And every time that happens, God sends a spiritual awakening. So as when we gather as many believers with us to unite, the theme of unity is very significant in the Scripture. How many times in the psalmist talks about the blessing of unity, the blessing of unity, how beautiful it is when the brethren dwell together in unity. And then the Apostle Paul talks about the unity of the Spirit, the bond of peace. And so we wanted all of our listeners and our television viewers to join with us. And we're doing it around the globe. For example, our UK office and the UK ministry, which was very significant, we have Awake UK. And then the same in Australia. We have a very large presence in Australia. We have Awake Australia. And so we wanted people to be praying for their countries, to be praying for God to send an awakening. And it doesn't matter where he sends it. God is sovereign. And if it's somewhere else, in another place, we will rejoice in it. But at least we are praying for it. And if he uses us and sends us through, leading the way through the church, that would be wonderful. But if somebody else, we will be there rejoicing with them.
AwakeAmerica2020.com. And I guess the nuts and bolts of it is, there's a card that you can print out and take with you on a prayer walk in your neighborhood, right? It's kind of like, let's grow where you're planted, be a blessing right where you are, or pray from home if you need to. And then there's actually part of it where you take a selfie with your prayer card, and it kind of helps build a community in the hashtag Awake America 2020. Just for, you know, there is something to the sense of community and for folks to be spurring each other on.
Absolutely. Yes. On campus, community, neighborhoods. Absolutely. Yes.
Yeah. Speak to this, if you would, for a second, too. Just the notion to encourage the individual listener, how a great awakening can actually start with one person. It does not need to be until you get a huge amount of people, but someone that is truly surrendered and ready and available, how God can really use that to do great things.
Well, the very last awakening we had in the United States was in New York City. A businessman, not a preacher, a businessman, Jeremiah Lamphere. He rented a small hall and advertised in the papers, just a tiny ad, "Join me to pray for an awakening." Very few people showed up lunchtime. And things were really, really bad in the economy from the 1850s on. Started 6 people, then 11 people, and they just kept growing, and the prayer meetings just spilled over to other churches and other places and went from New York to New Jersey and then spread all across New England, the United States, and then Yale, for example, they used to have mock communion. There were 90 Bible studies going on after the awakening, and stories like this that we know have happened before. God has honored them before, and we're not saying we have any right whatsoever other than saying, God, you're a sovereign God. You're full of grace and mercy. Have mercy on us as people and send us an awakening, and so that those who are appointed unto salvation will come to Christ.
AwakeAmerica2020.com. Again, for that, folks just tuning in to Tim DeMoss Show on WFIL, Dr. Michael Youssef, our guest, leading the way. The program, 5:30 each weekday afternoon on WFIL, ltw.org for more info. And again, AwakeAmerica2020.com. Speaking of prayer, all month in April, there's been a free download from our site, the book that you wrote, The Prayer That God Answers, Experience the Power and Fullness of the Lord's Prayer. Maybe you could speak to that a little bit for folks who haven't downloaded it yet.
Well, great. Well, I've written several books on prayer, actually. And The Prayer That God Answers is really an expounding of what the Lord was teaching us, or teaching his disciples first and us second, the power in the Lord's Prayer itself.
Yeah.
Every phrase that our Lord taught us is loaded. And sometimes I find myself, if I go through the Lord's Prayer, and not that by rote, but I spend time phrase by phrase, I find myself praying for 45 minutes and I haven't even finished yet. And so that is part of that book, showing people actually how to pray the Lord's Prayer. For example, we go to our Father, and I begin to talk to him as my Father, and how he is much more loving than my earthly father ever could be, or any earthly fathers for that matter. And then I stop praising his name, and so on. So that's what the book is about, that the download. It's really a book that teaches you how to pray. It's like if you need, you know, training wheels to pray. For some people, of course, they've been prayer warriors for a long time. They may not need it. But for those who need training wheels, that would help them get started.
Yeah. I pray it each morning because that's part of what he talked to us about. In fact, in the book, there's actually, I think at the end of each chapter, an opportunity to write your own prayer in there, kind of in the pattern of the Lord's Prayer.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes. I share mine, and this is something that was not easy for me to do, but when the publisher came, I said, look, people need this. So I share my own sample of my own prayer and then give you space to write your own so they'll be in your own words.
I love dwelling on it. We have a pastor, maybe a year or two ago, had done a little bit of a series on the Lord's Prayer and specifically said what you said. There's so much richness. There's not a ton of words, but there's so much richness. Just go slow. pause. Yeah. Don't have to rush. Right. Yeah, just take your time and let it sink
in.
Dr. Michael Youssef, our guest, I'm leading the way. Heard weekdays at 5:30 on WFIL, ltw.org for more info. You can also find out more about the program through WFIL's program guide at WFIL.com. We have a quick break, then we'll come back and continue our conversation. Dr. Michael Youssef on the Tim DeMoss Show, AM 560, WFIL.com, and on the WFIL app. We are enjoying having Dr. Michael Youssef as our guest from the program, leading the way, coming down the home stretch of our time together. Two last questions for you, if I could. I know you have plenty going on in your life. One, just about the ministry leading the way itself. We had talked about the Church of the Apostles, that being started. The radio ministry, if I'm not mistaken, was kind of birthed out of the church ministry. Is that right?
It did. Yes, yes. You know, when I started church and started growing so fast, I was the only pastor on staff. Thank God I got 15 now, but at the time I was the only one, and they were running. But one of our members came to me and he said, you know, you need to get on the media. I said, oh, no, I don't have the time to do that. That might be 20 years down the road. But he kept insisting. And really, one day he tricked me in sort of going along. And we started 32 years ago, this year, a year after the church started. So we launched Leading the Way Radio, started as spots, just a minute spots on local radio here, and then it grew to be the ministry of the preaching of the Word of God. And with Salem Communication and several other networks back in the early 90s, we expanded nationally. And from there, we started globally as well and got into 26 of the most spoken languages of the world, from Mandarin and Cantonese and Arabic and Persian and Turkish. We are so privileged to know that 14,000 times a week the gospel is going out to 195 countries.
Amen. I check with our business manager, Heather, because the stations here in Philly have been around for a lot of years, and there have been some changes in formats and stuff like that. But she mentioned that the Leading the Way weekly program is when we started on Sunday mornings close to 20 years ago, and then the daily broadcast the next year. So it's been close to two decades in Philadelphia. It's a blessing to have, and I know folks appreciate having that consistency and the boldness, but in a good way, because if the word's true, it's all life. So you want to hear it straight. You want to get it. You don't want to be like, I wonder what he means. He's kind of dancing around the edges.
Yeah, right.
Right.
Yeah. You know, even my staff, they say, we never leave your office asking, what did he mean by that? I don't know how to mince words in a smaller communication or larger communication. I'm what you see is what you get.
Yeah. Well, so let's wrap up with this, if you will. You've been serving the Lord for lots of years. We've been talking through. And if you take a moment and step back, what might you say both about God himself, as you've come to know him over the years, and then kind of a second part of that, if you had a main thought or two to impart to Christians and those who have not yet become believers, because there are a lot of folks who listen to a station in the privacy of their homes or cars, what would you encourage them about?
Well, first of all, I was talking to my son, who is actually a colleague in the ministry now in the church. He ministers transgenerational. And we were having lunch and we were talking. And I said, son, I said, you know, you've known me all my life, you know, my clay feet. But you can see that the older I get, the more focused I become on what I call the audience of one. Every one of us is going to have that audience of one. And what will I say, or rather, what would he say to me when I show up? My desire, my longing is, and becoming very intense in the last 10 years, more intense every day, well done, good and faithful servant. That's all I want to hear. And for the non-believer, look, I'm from the Middle East. I know a bargain when I see one. We bargain for everything in the Middle East. And there is no greater bargain in the world than accepting the incredible free gift of God, eternal life, forgiveness of sin, really from guilt and doubt, peace of mind, peace at heart in the middle of trouble, joy in the midst of disturbances. So this is a bargain of the bargains. I mean, there is that's a great deal. And I'm not doing this as a salesman. I'm doing this because probably I will never see you or know the folks are listening. But because I love the Lord, first of all, and I love people, is that I'm saying, come, look into Christ. Look how much he loves you and what he did in order to prove his love for you. Don't shrug your shoulders and dismiss Christ or the gospel message out of hand, because in it is not only your peace, your joy, your serenity in this life, but also eternity with him in heaven. And so I would appeal to anyone who may be seeking, searching. If you're genuinely searching and seeking, God would love for them to come and say, Lord, I don't know where to go. Can you reveal yourself to me? Then start reading the Bible. God will reveal himself through the pages of the scripture or through a friend, a Christian family member. And so keep your eyes open. Keep your heart open.
Amen. Those are great words. Great words of encouragement and exhortation. Dr. Michael Youssef, kind enough to spend time with us today from Leading the Way, the program 5:30 each weekday on WFIL. LTW.org is where you can get more info. Don't forget AwakeAmerica2020.com too. And you know, with any good interview or TV show or something, there's usually like a credits that are rolling and a little cutaway scene. So on a lighthearted note, can I ask any little known fact about yourself, such as you like black cherry ice cream or any little fun thing that folks may not know about Dr. Youssef?
Well, I tell you, I have become avid workout exercise
really
person that in the work with a trainer for 10 years now.
Wow.
And I can tell you this, I am better physically, energy-wise, in my 70s than when I was in my 50s.
Wow.
I can literally run a 12 or 11 and a half minute mile when I couldn't do that in my 50s.
That's excellent.
I lift weights better than I did in my 40s. So all of that is just an amazing blessing of God, and I'm grateful for, and something folks may not know about.
That's fun. That's great. I love it. Well, that's an encouragement, too. I'm in my 50s, and I need to get back to more of what you're talking about. So
this is an important time. That's when I was about to turn 60, God woke me up and said, I still have some things for you to do. So I went and lost 45 pounds.
Wow.
And then I began to exercise, and I have been ever since.
Amen. That's great. Yeah. Great practical encouragement for each of us listening in. Well,
amen.
God bless you. Folks will keep you in prayer and the ministry in prayer, and keep up the great work as unto him.
Thank you so much, Tim. God bless you, brother.
You too. Have a great rest of your day.
Appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.